You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that will inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Now, I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been so fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and authors that are sharing valuable stories and helpful information, who are all working to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound and make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is going to be building better family relationships. Now, for all of you out there, I mean, think of your last important conversation that you tried to have. Now, fortunately, it was a good one, but let's think, how did it turn out? Did you argue? Were voices raised? Did you end up the same place you always seem to end up? And how would you like to see that change? Well, our guest today, Keith Dorsch, is the creator of The Communication Cure, an internet-based tool that easily builds relationships through meaningful talk, which, for some people, would be quite a change. And Keith proudly states he is first and foremost a husband of 18 years and a proud father of six children, ages 6 to 17. Professionally, Keith has guided over 450 couples through week-long relationship-building intensives. Additionally, Keith has spent 20,000 hours helping families and individuals heal from life's pains and grow to reach their greater potential in life. Keith's successful approach and tools for resolving communication problems has earned the praise of doctors, teachers, army chaplains, and therapists around the continent, as well as here on our show. Keith, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Well, I'm really glad to be here with you today, Alan. Thank you. Thanks for having me back, and let's hope we can have a fun show that is enlightening for your listeners today.
Well, I have no doubt that we will, and for me, it's just so glad to have you back because, you know, when it comes right down to it, in almost everything that we do, communication is so important. I mean, it's important in our family. It's important, you know, in our business relationships, and it seems like the more that we have to do, you know, the more difficult it seems to be to make ends meet. It seems like we're just not taking the time, and I have to admit, and I'm one of the offenders myself, and I apologize to the many friends and family out there that I feel like I just haven't continued to keep that really good positive communication that I felt like I used to have with them. So, I mean, what happens for those of us that feel like we have had? What happens, you know, that we start to drop off, or we start to lose some of the skills that we thought we knew?
I think you said it, and I think some people might have missed it because it is so easy to miss. But it's the stress of life, whether it's, you know, providing for a family. I'm right with you on that, Alan, and losing friendships and not maintaining them like I would, but really my strength to get through the stressful times is going to come from those relationships, and I have to be very intentional to make sure I'm communicating with those people that matter, and there are days where I'm just like, I know I need to talk to this child or that child, and I just don't have it. I am tired and worn out, and that's from stress probably outside of that relationship. Probably the child, the teen, contributed nothing to it. It's probably, you know, maybe a contract that didn't go through, an infected tooth like I got today, a breakdown with the vehicle. It's those kinds of things, and they very quickly attack our family relationships and start pulling them apart.
So, I mean, you know, how did your interest in helping others experience this type of meaningful talk develop to a level that you felt, this is something that I need to put out there to the world?
Yeah. You know, working backwards, I think in recent years, people would say, as I was working with them, what do we do next week when you're not sitting at the end of our bed or on the end of our couch helping us through this communication? And I recognized that people could respond when I was leading them in conversation, but they still, you know, a few hours with a couple doesn't instill in them the habits and the good practices of communication, and they needed more. And so asking myself that question, how can I take what's been really effective in my counseling and make it available to more people and multiply what I do and kind of virtually provide a facilitator right in the people's homes for them. And,
everybody
has a communication problem, like you said, right?
Right. Well, and I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel that way because I think we're so wrapped up in our own, you know, in our own situation that, you know, we're not as focused on the fact that maybe they're having the same problem. So I think you bring up a great point that, you know, as we look inward and we start thinking, gosh, you know, why am I doing this? Why do I, you know, not have enough hours in the day to stay in touch with the people that I really want to? But I think you bring up a great point is that, you know, if the other people are doing it as well, you know, maybe as soon as we stop and take a breath and say something to them, that they may do the same thing and go, gosh, I thought I was all alone.
And here's a great breath. It's breathing out humility and just saying, oh, you know, it just hit me again. I haven't done a good job staying connected with you. And our communication suffered and our relationship suffered. And we hit restart. Everybody's got a restart button. But it does take that humility, which requires being mindful of the stresses you're under, and just come back and say, hey, I'm not living in relationship with you the way I want to be. And people respond to that. They'll give a second chance because, you know, relationship is really, they know that's what they need.
Well, and that's a great point, you know, so that we're not, you know, waiting for the other person to, you know, to make that initial contact. I think that's one of the things, too. I've talked with some people, and I'm sure you've talked with many, many clients that will say, "Well, I reached out, you know, a couple of years ago, and you know, they just didn't really respond, and so for some reason, we now think that the ball's in their court." What would you say to the person that tells you that?
I would say, you know, you are going to be better off reconnecting with whoever is a good candidate for it. Of course, you know, you want to invite healthy people into your life. But anytime you take a step to reconnect is a good thing. Maybe, I'm sure you've come across it talking with, you know, so many people that work with teenagers, is I'll tell parents, you know, the problem might be 99% your teen. They may have had clear instructions from you about what you wanted them doing Friday night. You didn't want them around these people, that you didn't want them smoking pot or going to this location. And they went and did it, and then a whole crisis event came out of that, and it might be 99% them and 1% you. And the quickest way to reconnect and start helping that teen is to own your 1%, even though it's just 1%. And that's really, really hard. I can share that with people, and I'm always pointing the finger back at me saying, do you do that well, Keith? You need to do that and find that 1% and own it. There's always something for us to own in our relationships.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. But I mean, what do you tell the parent that says, you know, am I then grooming a child that's not going to take responsibility for their 99% in other parts of their life?
You can be very clear that it is your 1%, but you know, the important thing is for you as a parent to take that step, and you will be looking at the 99%, and you will do it with them when you're on good terms with them and you've gotten back to liking them. Don't try and work through the issue if you are still upset with your child. It's just premature. But, still take that 1% and don't let them manipulate, which is, that's the number one tactic, you know, of teenagers. I was in a conversation with one of my kids last week, and I was just checking off in my head, manipulation tactic number one, oh, here's number two, here's number three, here's number four, and I just sat and listened as they exhausted their list, and then they were like looking at me, and okay, now let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll want to manipulate. That's a hard thing. When you're stressed as a parent, to identify the manipulation of your kid is a difficult thing. But I think regular, strong communication and connection with them will help you recognize when that ingredient comes into the relationship, you know, because it doesn't fit with the healthy relationship you have had. And you can see it a little more easily.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think the other thing that it's hard for us as parents, but to sit back and go, well, even if they don't get it right now, in the future, they're going to have been modeled by a parent that they remember took responsibility. So
that is so good, because modeling, you know, kids pick up what is modeled more than what is taught. And so, you know, as parents, we can always be focusing on what am I modeling to my teen, and know that in modeling, regardless of their response, you have given them something that they're going to have to wrestle with the rest of their life and say, yeah, I do have an example. I do know what to do in this situation because mom was an example and dad was an example. The problem is a lot of the books out there aren't powerful examples and models. There are a lot of information, and they can have good stories that are an example for us, but they're easily forgotten. But the more relational connection you have with that person who's a model for you, the better you're going to be at handling stress and manipulation. It's really important.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. Now, what else influenced you to have such a great desire, you know, for learning more about communication as well as your understanding of communication?
Well, let me start with my understanding is, I was working on a presentation yesterday, and I listed about 12 topics that parents should be and are probably going to be required to talk to their teens about at some point. And there's things like dating, sex, drugs, schoolwork, your future, social media, friends that you're hanging with, all those kinds of things need to be addressed. But you really can't, if you picture that as the top row, underneath it you need to have communication, good communication, supporting all that. If you try and get into one of those topics and you don't have the communication skills, you're not going to get anywhere in those. But what I've become aware of, and a number of people are out there, is that underneath the communication there needs to be a connection, and that's a biological connection between two people. That's a message that comes out your eyes that says, I'm glad to be with you. And when you're glad to be with somebody, you'll open up and talk to them and have great communication. But if you don't get that signal, a gate goes up. And you'll never experience that communication. And I really got the understanding of the brain through one of my daughters who had seizures. And the symptoms were all symptoms connected to her brainstem. So her seizures were around sleep. She was always hungry. She had eye pain. And they would last really, really long. And the doctor said, those are all functions of the brainstem, your vision, your sleeping, your eating, all that. You know, that's what you need to live. And he said, if she has a weak brainstem, she won't be able to raise her eyebrows. And so they said, Natalie, raise your eyebrows. And she tilted her head back. She opened her mouth, but the eyebrows didn't budge at all. And then he said, the brain responds to input and strengthens based on the input it gets. So he said the nerve to the brainstem is on the right side of her face. And so he stroked the right side of her face with what I call the $80 an hour Kleenex. And so very lightly stroked it three times. And then said, raise your eyebrows. And she raised her eyebrows. And it got me realizing that, wow, there are parts of our brains that need to be engaged to have good communication so we can talk about the topics we need to. And how can you best create that connection at the neurological level? And that's what fascinated me, and that's what I found was happening in my working with couples, is I was doing some of those things, and we were getting results very quickly, and people were working through their issues very quickly, and I just wanted to apply that to more areas and more resources.
Now, that's pretty incredible. Now, so does that sort of fall, you know, the stroking of the face to control the eyebrows part? I mean, you know, obviously this, you know, is just a, you know, one point, but does that fall into the category of like an acupressure type of thing? I mean, is...
Wow, that's a good question. I wouldn't feel qualified to answer that one. But, you know, you can go around and poke yourself, and if it hurts really bad or you're doing something you shouldn't happen to your body, I better stop, and you better stop it. But, you know, that, and that stroking the face that stimulates the brainstem, that really has very little to do with relationship. But the front of your brain, the prefrontal area, specifically on the right side, there's a key area that totally runs your life and your relationship. I call it the Obama of the brain because it's commander in chief, and everything flows down from that. And so that part is stimulated by soothing music, loving touch, and experiences of joy. That's that out that person's eye. I'm glad to be with you. And when you have that happening, then you can enter into communication and have a real successful conversation with someone on a topic. And so some people are weak in those areas. They've done studies, and some people have very little to no activity up in that area of their brain. And their social abilities aren't very good, and they're behind bars in places. And it's also the part that you check when you're under stress. Like, I was driving somewhere last week and my car broke down the side of the road. And so my fear would check the front of my brain and say, hey, do I have enough capacity to get through this stressful situation? And it did a quick check, and I did, and I was calm, and I was the person I wanted to be through that situation. If it would have done a check to that front part of my brain and there wasn't any activity up there or very little, it would have said, no, you really don't have capacity, and then fear comes in and you start handling situations the wrong way, and that directly applies to relationships.
Now, is there a way that we can build that capacity so that we can respond better to those questions when one part of the brain asks the other one if you can handle this?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you can do. That is soothing music. A resource I do have, the communication cure. I've licensed music from Stanton Lanier, who is the pianist of peace, and he's donated, his nonprofit organization donated 50,000 copies of CDs to cancer patients and cancer wards because his peaceful music, they've done studies, actually soothes the pain that the people are going through. So we wanted everything about this resource to engage as much as is possible to create the best communication. So we do have, you know, the music in there, and we have visual stuff, and you're sitting close. It just, even being conscious of putting your hand on your child in a loving way. When you know, I'm going to call my kids, I'm going to put my hand on their back. It just says, you know, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're in our family. You don't even have to speak words. But that is what builds that bank up in the front part of your brain. So there's lots of things. But again, it's hard to be intentional about it when you have all the stresses of life coming at you.
That's a very good point. And again, for those of you listening, Keith just mentioned about the communication cure. For those of you that can, if you're sitting at a computer and you want to open up another window, if you go to www.thecommunicationcure.com, you can check it out. I've gone to the site, you know, many times. It's you know, it's very interactive. I mean, so you're able to go in, you can check it out and see what seems to work for you. And actually, while we're talking about that, so Keith, tell us a little bit more about, you know, what people can gain when they go to the site.
Everything I'm talking about is really too good to be true. Because people ask me, how do we have you in our home? Well, this is me put into a software version, and people can go under a category of marriage, of parent and children, or of parent and teen, and they can go into that category and look at the number of topics that they can talk about with their child or with their teen. And there are a lot of good conversation starters out there. But honestly, at the second question, it really starts to drop off the conversation, and the third question, and sometimes by the sixth question, all hell breaks loose because people's emotions have gotten involved, and they wanted to start off listening, but they end up reacting. And so a conversation starter doesn't guarantee a complete conversation, and you really want to be talking with people for 20 minutes because at the 20-minute mark, you release oxytocin, which is a bonding chemical, and that will just build and strengthen the relationship right there just by being engaged with the person for 20 minutes. So a person would pick a topic, like if it was with their teens, they could pick something like approachability, which is something, you know, as we hear that topic, we go, yeah, that's a really good topic. I should talk to my kid about how unapproachable they are. And the teenager is saying, yeah, I would like to talk to my parent about how unapproachable they are. And that particular conversation allows the teenager to answer 10 or so questions about the approachability of the parent, and in a way that's not critical at all, but in a way that says, hey, let's come up with a plan of how we can be more approachable with each other and we can maintain this relationship. And then it reverses and the parent gets to answer the question. So you click on the topic, a video type player comes up and it plays the soothing background music. It has color on the screen. It has graphic designs that are all designed to be calming for the brain. And then there's an audio track of a professional voice that's at a deeper level that your brain needs to calm the amygdala. And it asks the question out loud, and the parent and the teen can engage in face-to-face communication because the computer is asking the question, and the teenager will take as much time as they want answering that question before they advance to the next one. And the parent is really breaking any bad habits they might have in communication and just simply listening. And then they get their turn to answer the 10 questions while the teen listens. And at the end, they're free to say, hey, let's take this for a spin and see if we can have a, you know, a little further conversation on our own. But in and of itself, you've just had a complete conversation for hopefully 20 minutes in time, and you've stimulated all that front part of your brain that you need to have stimulated to build up strength in it.
That is great. I think you touch on something really important about the parents just being able to listen. I think we have a tendency, in one hand, some of us have a tendency to where we've heard just enough, and because of our hurried life, we just want to fix it. Okay, I get it already. Let me fix it. And I'm so glad that you talked about this sort of 20-minute mark in regards to this bonding time, because I think if it can get us to go ahead and let them finish whatever it is that they're talking about, even if maybe we don't feel like we need more information to make a decision or to do whatever it is that's being asked of us, but to go ahead and do that. And I'm smiling right now thinking of the times that, so if I would have just let them go till the 20-minute mark, maybe the result would have been a lot better. So I think that's a great point.
I really like how you worded it, because you can still, as a parent, you can still hold the ground. You may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the decision or the rule you have to make for your child. But relationship is lost when you just make the rule and you don't listen to them. So take the time to listen. Still enforce the rule or whatever it is you need to put into this situation, and you'll preserve the relationship because you listened. So you can be in disagreement, but you can still preserve relationship and connection. That's key.
Yeah, and I know that you have a you have a story that, and I've heard before, but I don't know if the if the listeners today have heard, but it talks about, you know, the ability to communicate in meaningful ways, you know, that are affected by empathy, sympathy, and compassion. Tell us a little bit about the, the My Best Day in Grade 9 story.
Yeah, great story. My Best Day in Grade 9 was not when I was in Grade 9, but it was a few years back, and I was in a local high school here in Colorado Springs, and I was speaking to a health class. And my wife would go in first, and she would speak. She has experienced many different types of abuse in her life. She had an eating disorder for 18 years. She was given 6 months to live. She was diagnosed permanently disabled. So she gets in front of this class and gives the kids hope that no matter what the situation is, it can get better. I come in the next day, and I talk about how communication, when we get it right and have connection, you'll see a lot more love in relationships. And so I took two grade 9 students, actually boys, which makes this more incredible. I took two grade 9 boys, and I had them face their chairs so they were knee to knee with each other, and the rest of the class of 20 or so kids made a circle around them, and they were listening very closely. And I started giving the boy on the left the question past the boy on the right, and he would repeat it just like I do when I'm working with couples, just like the communication peer does. And so I was asking some questions, and we're hearing some information, and then we found out that the student on the right had moved around a lot because he's a military family and wasn't eager to make friends because they're just going to end and it's going to be painful. And so I had the other student ask him, how do you deal with the pain of feeling alone walking the halls of high school? And the guy said, I go home and I cut myself every night. And he's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I said that. Oh no, so embarrassed, all this stuff. And I said to the class, you know, I prompted them to respond compassionately. I said, stand up if you have more respect for him now. And the whole class stood up and clapped for the guy. Mm-hmm. We continued talking, found out there's more pain and stuff. And at the end of the conversation, again, I was trying to orchestrate a way that this guy could be free of some of the pain he was carrying. So I said to the class, if you want to take a piece of his pain and carry it for him so he can have a lighter load walking out of this class, stand up. And the whole class stood up and clapped for him. Now that's the brain empathizing, which is requires the activation of that front part of your brain. And then sympathizing, we got understanding into the situation. And then there was some compassionate responses. We stood up, we clapped for him, we encouraged him. But the amazing thing that happened was after the class was over, I was talking to the teacher, and a student in the class walked over to that boy, and he said, hey, I have you in my Spanish class after health class. Can I walk with you so you don't feel alone? And that was unscripted, unprompted. That is the way we are designed to function, is reaching that point where we want to reach out to people in pain and act compassionately. Everybody sings about how we need more love. And that happened in a grade 9 setting, and that's a very powerful example. So when I'm working with couples, I'm looking for them to come up with their own solutions. That means everything's turned on relationally in their brains the way it needs to be. And that's kind of why I'm opposed to writing a book. There's no book can turn that on and have that effect. It's got to be experienced, and that's why I wanted a resource that gets into people's homes and they can experience right there.
Well, and again, I mean, I'm aware of the story, and I'm still touched every time that I hear it. So thank you so much for sharing. Now, we're going to take a break right now, but I want everybody to stay with us. And I'm going to play a little message from Darnell. She's talking about her mother in this message. And please listen. This is an opportunity to really help save a life and to make a difference out there. So stay with us. We'll be right back in about a minute, and we will continue to talk about the communication cure.
My name is Darnell Young, and I'm desperately reaching out for help. In 1970, after a blood transfusion, my mom contracted hepatitis C, which later evolved into terminal liver cancer. A transplant is her only chance of survival, and we don't have the means to fund the surgery. My stepdad's working as much as he can, and I just got off chemotherapy myself, so I've been limited in what I can do. Any amount you could give would help our family more than you can possibly know. You can go to our fundraising website at youcaring.com. That's youcaring.com. And search One Family's Battle, onefamily_sbattle. And you can donate directly there. Don't forget to capitalize the first letter of all those words. Thank
you. All right, and we're back. We are talking with Ken Dorst. We are talking about the communication cure. And again, thank you everybody for listening, taking the time to listen to Darnell. This is truly some of the just really beautiful human beings out there. So I appreciate everybody's that has gone to the site and has done what they can to help. So thank you. So, Keith, again, we're talking a little bit about, you know, the different ways of communication, and you talked a little bit about the two boys. We have a listener question that's coming in that is going to talk about another type of communication issue that comes in the family, and this one reads, my daughter and my husband, in parentheses, her stepfather, bicker constantly, and it appears most of their communications are aimed at getting, in capitals, my attention. I am at my wit's end, and regardless of how I try to keep the peace, nothing seems to be working. What help do you have for a, quote, mom in the middle, unquote, to cure this communications fiasco?
Ooh. Good question. What's on the surface, my first answer is, mom, get out of the middle. And did we know the age of this child, Alan?
No, but I can. What I'll say is that, again, for the listener, oftentimes when we get these messages, it's someone who maybe can't listen live, so they're going to listen later, either maybe on iTunes or go to our website and listen to an answer later. But you know, but at the same time, you know, feel free to, you know, to get a hold of Keith if you want to. This is now for the listener to get a hold of Keith and, you know, and share a little bit more information if, you know, the age or whatever is going to have a bearing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, please contact me through the website or just Google my name. Let's assume that the person, the daughter, is a middle school or teen, and it's important at that age that they start owning their relationships in life and what they're going to become and how they're going to be maintained. And so I think it sounds like it's a little too emotionally volatile to sit down with, you know, the three of you and mom, try and have a conversation and broker it. I strongly recommend you sit with the daughter and talk to her and ask her a couple questions. One good question would be, what would you like your relationship with whatever she refers to him as, your father, your dad, to look like? And expect maybe a real negative answer at the start. And if you don't get a response, I think that's a good, I'd love to hear your answer on that. So maybe in a week or so, I'll come back and ask that again if you could be thinking about that. We don't have to fix this issue in a week or even 2 weeks. So we've got some time. And then if she does give an answer, you might say, well, what are the problems you're facing in the relationship now with him? Well, if you could change anything about him or your relationship, what would that be? And then if you could change anything about me and how I handle the relationship between you and him, what would that be? And that's a really good start. Those three questions right there are a good start for that daughter to be thinking about. And I may not even address the husband at this point. I might wait till I hear a little more from the daughter on that. And you might just want to, I'm all about, you know, kind of dropping hints and things and saying, husband, I just had a really good time talking with our daughter. And, you know, she really surprised me. She said, she told me something that she'd really like to see and that she thinks can improve in your relationship with her. And just drop it. Don't say what it is, you know, kind of bait them along. And that can be, that, you know, that's, Alan, where the stress gets in, and it's easy to talk about doing it, and it's difficult to do. And that's why you need to separate out those conversations at the start and really listen to the girl first. Chances are her heart can more easily be opened up than an older person's. It's nothing about this husband. I know nothing about him, but as time hits us, we tend to shut down harder and harder every time we get hurt. And so they're both hurt, but let's start with the person who has the most open heart and start talking with her.
Yeah, I think that makes good sense, because I think neither party feels like they're being ambushed, you know, and sometimes when you try to put them together and say, okay, we're going to work this out, one or the other feels like, well, you're going to take the other one's side anyway, so this becomes, in their mind, an ambush of them. And they shut down. So, yeah, I think that's a great point that you bring up. And also, again, for that listener and anyone else that is dealing with some of these things, first of all, thank you for that listener for sending us in a question, and we love getting them. But also, Keith has another website that may also be helpful, and that is parentinghelplive.com. And I'm not as familiar with this one, so Keith, tell me a little bit about this site.
These are, again, I created this site. I also have marriage help and relationship help, but I created this site, again, in response to people saying, how can we get more powerful resources available to us? And so that's a website where we will post Google Hangouts. And a Google Hangout is a great tool that Google pays for. And this is why I can do this. I get to give back in a potentially huge way. You know, I've worked with so many couples, and I've seen so many situations that I think I might have something to say to some people if they wanted to ask. And this gives me the opportunity to speak in there. So I will set up a Google Hangout, and I would take this mom and this daughter, and using their computer and their microphone, I could be leading them and facilitating a conversation with them from my computer in my home, and then 10 people, 10,000 people can watch. And that's where we said, you know, that modeling needs to be presented out there. So if people could watch a mom and a daughter connect, and then move from connection to communicating to then getting a satisfaction out of that topic that they just conversed about, that people who watch that say, oh, now I know what it is. And so that's what that's going to be. And I'm looking for volunteers. It might be a husband and wife who have a parenting question that they can't seem to talk about together. I would facilitate helping them do that, or a parent and a teen, or a parent and a child, and so people can watch it. And I've done a lot of this live in front of large groups, and I don't turn it into counseling at all. It's just conversation, because between a book and counseling, there's got to be something else out there, and it's good old-fashioned conversation. So I train people to connect, communicate, and care, just like in that grade 9 class. And so if you're interested in that, you can go to that site. There's nothing on there now because they are held live. And you can get notifications of when we're going to have one. And you can just sit at home and watch, or you can actually participate.
I think that's great. And I will be looking forward to that. It sounds like a great new tool. So let me ask, I mean, why do you think that more people are not able to build their relationships through meaningful communication? You know, it's, you would think as we get wiser, you know, as we learn more about what goes on, you know, in our minds, that we would be building better relationships. Why do you think that's not working?
Yeah, first, I think we are learning more. We're getting better educations about why relationships fail, what steps are need to be taken to build a relationship, to restore it, to strengthen it. But the power, again, to act on that education only comes through experience. There's a lot of crazy stuff in the news, and I was shooting a video the other day, and I started off saying, there's a lot of crazy news out there in the world, in the country, and how about our high schools? Did you hear about the teenager who was studying the first Gulf War in history class, and he developed PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, right in class? And I said, you didn't, because that doesn't happen. You don't get big problems like that if you're just reading about stuff. And so why do we turn to books for more information? When that just gives us an education, but when you connect a heart to a heart, you change a life. And so I think people aren't looking for the resources that's really going to help them. And that's understandable. You know, books are pushed on us all the time. And we don't want to give up on our relationship, so we want to be doing something. And so to read a chapter of a book before bed, you know, gives us that sense of, hey, I am interested in building a relationship with my team. But then, you know, using that example of the question that was asked, and you said it really well, Alan, that, you know, the three people start talking, and you pick up right away, hey, you're siding with them. How did that come out? That came out in tone. And that tone of mom responding to dad that way just told the teenager that mom's siding with dad, and boom, that connection is lost. And so people, that's why they struggle to go the 20 minutes in conversation, because our tones come in and our agendas come in. And that's one of the great things of the communication cure, is it's an objective voice asking the questions, and there's nothing for you to react to. And that gives you the best shot to answer the important question, because sometimes our teen will ask a question or our spouse will ask a question, and we know there's a right answer. We know there's an answer that's going to save our hiney and keep us out of the fryer. But that's not the true answer. It's not the one we want to give, but we give it because of the tone and the attitude. And so we, with the communication cure, we create a really objective opportunity for people. So,
yeah. But it sounds like, yeah, if we give the answer, and it sounds like you're saying, you know, in some cases, based on a tone, we'll give the answer that we think is going to end this particular conflict. We run into the problem of we're really not being authentic, and are we now training them, so to speak, to where when a situation gets like this, just be inauthentic?
Good question. What happens? And when I've done this live so many times with couples, I will tell them, I'm going to start asking the questions, and it might feel very sterile, and as you described it, I forget the word, but it was good. But But in 2 minutes, you're going to forget I'm here. And that's because the music, the depth of the guy's voice, the colors, and the closeness. Remember, those three things work on your brain, and they pull people together. And so it's pulling the participants together, keeping the computer that's the facilitator off to the side. And that's where the power comes in. So that doesn't happen. And, you know, the voice asks the question, and it registers in the husband's eyes, even though he didn't ask it. And the wife, looking at his eyes, sees that he's asking that question. Because in a sixth of a second, your core emotion comes out your eyes. And so that wife knows that he's engaged with that question, and she will answer 100% engaged with him, even though this tool prompted it.
That's good. And it sounds like, and in probably a more authentic fashion.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you have one of the principles that you speak about at times, which is your 90-10 principle. Share a little bit with our listeners that principle.
Okay, the 90-10 principle goes back to the number of resources out there that are informational and just informational. They might be in different formats. It could be a book. It could be an online article. It could be watching an Oprah or Dr. Phil show, something like that, or a DVD series that you're going through. It's informational. But the 90-10 also looks at the level of pain that people are in. So we talked about stress. Stress is a pain, and it makes it difficult for us to be who we want to be and stay calm and stay listening and stay focused. And so as people get in deeper levels of upset, the resource that's going to calm that upset needs to change. So information helps when the person is confused. And that makes sense. If I was saying, oh, what time is my interview with Alan today? All I need to do is go to an email, read the time, and go, okay, solved.
Uh-huh.
And I don't sweat it. I don't wake up with PTSD. I don't have nightmares about it. It is solved. Now, after that, once information can't solve it, the next level is you need a model. And that's why I said, the next resource we're putting out there for people is to see connection, communication, and caring modeled before their eyes. And then that helps them. And it's really not even the content. It's the nonverbal connection that you see happening. It's watching that person lean closer to the other one. It's watching that tear in their eye or their voice quiver that draws you in. And, yeah, I want to have that with my teen, I want to have that with my spouse, that kind of connection. And so ultimately, at the end of all the different pains, the worst pain, emotional pain that people can experience is that of being alone, the absence of someone who loved you. And so if you were a parent that had a great relationship with your teen, and then, you know, maybe divorced and remarried, now you don't have that connection with your teen like you did, that teen's and the feeling of alone. And the only thing that's going to solve that is the presence of the one that loves you. So coming back, and it is, again, nonverbal. It's physical touch. It's a look out the eyes. And we just don't have enough moments like that in our life to help us wage war against all the stress and all the overwhelm that we're feeling. And teenagers have overwhelm even, you know, as much for what they're going through as adults do. And then we need to remind ourselves of that. As overwhelmed as I feel as a parent at times, my 17-year-old feels just as overwhelmed. And how can I connect with that? And that's just letting them know I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I challenge people to say, stop going to the same old resources of more information and start doing something. Poor relationships came through poor experiences, and they will be reversed and made positive through positive experiences. And so look for resources that do that. 90% of the people are going to information, but that's not their problem.
Well, yes, I couldn't agree more. And it just sounds like, I mean, by doing that, you're doing exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing, which is giving open and honest and authentic communication. We've got a comment that's coming through, actually that came through via email. And this one says that, you know, I had wanted to comment that after hearing you on Alan's show earlier, I recommended that our family issues group at church sign up for and purchase your talks on you know, on the internet. It was wonderful, especially the dating, the family rules and risky behavior parts. By far, it is the best money I've spent in a very long time. So that was very nice. Again, thank you for you know, for the comments. We love them.
Thank you very much.
And please keep them coming. We've got about 5 minutes. Time once again has flown by. But one of the things everybody knows, I love I love success stories. I love to leave people with that. You know, if you can share a couple of stories of relationships, maybe from a couple of different categories, and how meaningful talk really improved them.
Yeah, I think to date my favorite story is the one you asked me to share again of the grade 9 class. That's incredible. But another one would be of a dad who was out of the house for gambling, violence, alcohol, pornography, and real temper. So affecting the family, three young kids with some special health needs, and you know, so mom's trying to stay afloat and take care of the kids and trying to deal with dad. So he was out of the house for 6 months. And they were going through counseling, and the time came where they actually had to be together in the same room because they can't stay apart forever. And so they took this tool and turned on the parent and child conversations, and the parents and the three kids got on the floor and were just building Legos. And as the questions came up, they would take turns sharing their answer. And just having that other focus, you know, at that point, to have eye contact may not be the best way to build a relationship, but it has something to be manipulating with your hands and answering questions. And I heard at the end of that that the kids all jumped on their dad and wanting to express to them that they had never realized some of the stuff he had been through. Now, certainly a lot more counseling. Now, that guy's not off the hook, but sure. What it showed is that after being out of the house for a long time, people could reconnect. And it's a great tool for blended families. How can we kind of get on the same page as a family? Let's all answer the same questions about our life and what it's been, or a single mom or a single dad. How can I make sure with all the stuff I'm juggling that I'm going to get have the connection with my kids that I need? Well, this just, you don't have to think about it. A second story I really like is a person who purchased this, and he was a widower. His wife had died of cancer and left 9 kids. And some of the kids were really young when she passed and really don't have much recollection of her mom. And he took, as they got older, and they're in their teens now, he took the 30 marriage talks, and answered all the questions in the 30 talks as his wife would have answered them, as their mom would have answered it, so that they could know what was mom like. Because, you know, they didn't have the example. We said, you know, you need information, then you need an example modeled. They didn't have that of mom, but he wanted to give it to them as best he could, so he answered from her perspective and help them form a better image of what their healthy marriage was like and what she was like as a mom. Really creative use of it there.
And very, very insightful on his part was, you know, to in a way, I mean, you know, keep her spirit, you know, alive in them, you know, by showing them the type of person she is. I mean, that's beautiful. Keith, once again, it is so great to have you on the show. Again, for everybody out there, check out The Communication Cure. It really is, you know, something that I think we can all benefit from. So, again, everybody have a great week. Keith, you too. Take care of that.
Thank you, Alan.
Take care of that tooth.
I'm off to get another shot right now. It'll be good. Thanks, Alan. I really enjoyed being on.
All right, and IU. Okay, and for everybody else out there, have a great week. Please be with us again next week, and know that, you know, our job is to provide answers for the family and to do it in a way that you feel that we're providing something for you to help. Take care. Bye now.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.